This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. You are listening live to tape with me, your host, the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And joining me once again, back from a week of rest, live from the fire pit at her abode in Centerville in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it is the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes, it is. Happy Sunday, girl.
Happy Sunday. And to our Jewish listeners, Hanukkah, happy Sameach.
Yeah. It's the first night, right?
It is. It is. And sun just went down. Right. So to our Jewish listeners who celebrate, thank you for tuning in, if and when you're listening to this. But hope you are enjoying the Festival of Light.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yep, it is that holiday season, but more importantly, we are one quarter of the way through the hockey season, the NHL season. And, we're looking at a very good team right now. Yeah. Very much so. And, it was a kick-ass game that was played today. We'll get to that eventually. So, before we get to the hockey, though, how you feeling, Anna? Rested up?
In general, or about the team?
both.
Both. Yes, this 4-day weekend was most needed and most appreciated. So, yes, I feel well rested, and I feel really good about this team, and I am loving the young ones.
Oh, yes.
I gotta
Absolutely.
My God. Yeah, it's awesome. And what about you? How was your holiday?
Not too bad. How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, it was good. I was with a family out in Annapolis, and my God, the weather was gorgeous. So we left out with that, and it was good. A lot of people, everyone who was there was also at my mom's funeral. So it was kind of nice to see everybody, but not have to have a Debbie Downer moment. We just sort of celebrated, it was a big toast to her. And that was very cool. So yeah. And then, ate and drove back. And then I made our own little Knox Thanksgiving dinner last night. Cause who doesn't have leftovers?
I've seen you've been posting some very sumptuous looking meals on your personal Facebook page, and how do you find the time to do it? I mean, you lay everything out, and it's just
yum.
I mean, it's like I want to grab the picture and put it on my plate or something.
Well, thank you. I think I found that cooking is kind of my zen. And it's just, whether it's a hard day at work, we have a couple of kiddos that were not wanting to go on vacation or not wanting to have the time off because they didn't know if they would have a meal. So that always, rips my heart in two. Those kind of stressful moments. And then my mom's not going to be here and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, when I'm cooking, I just seem to get into a really good headspace. And it's just, it's a good place to be. So I decided yesterday, I was like, I got this, turkey breast from Legman's, and all right, let's have at it. And I just, you know, put a bunch of things together and it wound up being a really delicious meal, if I do say so myself. But yes, I do. I find the time to do it because it's just me time with music, just kind of letting the, you know, thinking about the day.
Nice, nice. And yeah, glad to hear it. So what I'm finding is, at least cooking wise, I think it's been all the rage for a while, but this thing called, I've heard it two different ways. Instant pot.
I wouldn't know. I don't have one.
You don't have one of those?
I do not. An old school crock pot. But I don't have an Instapot, no. And I don't have a air fryer. Nothing fancy. I don't know. Are you looking at like Jenny's wish list for Christmas?
Well, we actually have two of those. One's the real, apparently the real thing, and the other one is a knockoff Instant Pot. I don't know. I can't say it. But yeah, we're looking for other equipment that will help us along, because we like to save things. We like to buy meat in bulk and store it in our freezer. So yeah, what we do is we have this vacuum sealer, but it hasn't been working very well lately. That's probably number one. We're looking for one of those because, you know, I mean, it's not doing its job. So ironically, we have a vacuum sealer that doesn't suck, but it sucks in that it doesn't suck.
That doesn't suck, right?
Yeah.
And I was always like, oh, these are so ridiculous and whatever else, until our neighbor across the street was like, hey, listen, I bought this stupid thing for my wife. She could give a shit about it. Do you guys want it? I've got everything, all the bags, all the different sizes, this and that. I was like, yeah, I guess so. And then we went to Costco and I was like, okay, who needs like 600 sausages? I'm like, this is ridiculous. So we started to, like, you know, now I can see where people can get kind of crazy about it because it is totally useful.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We've got meat in our freezer from last summer, that we haven't used yet because we're able to save it. So yeah, but that,
okay,
that yeah, that's probably
say,
number.
I hope you.
No, it's still frozen, but that thing is probably number one on the kitchen wish list for right now. So that's the big thing now that we're in the holiday season and we're heading into Cyber Monday. So probably be looking for one of them. Yeah,
so. There you go.
Anyway,
are you one of those Cyber Monday people? Because I am not.
I'm pretty handy with a Google search and whatever system you can log me into. So it's finding an actual bargain that somebody's actually going to want. That's seems to be the problem, but I'll figure it out.
True.
Yeah. All right. So on to the hockey. It was a long week, four games. So let's. I mentioned that we're at the quarter pole of the season. We like to. It's kind of a tradition here at the Triple P. We like to have Robbie Gross on from the Sports on the Hill podcast, but he is, as everybody knows, taking an extended paternity leave, both from the show and his job. So he's a lot less available now that he's got two hands full with a son and a daughter. He'll be greatly missed, but we'll kind of sum up things as best we can on our own here. But before we get to that, let's recap the games as we always do. Four games this whole week, starting with the one in Seattle against the Kraken, the Puget Sound Puck Handlers. You know what? I'm going to run through this real quick. And you know what? I'm going to draw a line through it because, I mean, come on. It was perfect storm in that it was the end of a long West Coast road trip. The team was obviously tired. And Seattle was hungry for a win because they'd been on a long losing streak. So, yeah, it just was not. I mean, it wasn't going to be a good game. It was a classic trap game. So you have all that going on. And you knew, I mean, it wasn't a bad loss, but you knew it wasn't going to turn out good. So that kind of a game, I mean, here's what we normally do with something like that. And scene. So,
you have that readily available is interesting.
What do you think? I'm recording from the bathroom or something?
No. Why not?
Oh, that'd be gross.
It would be.
That'd be disgusting. But you never know. I'm not into that, but yeah.
Gross.
Anyway, I know you are. Okay, so it started off good. Tom Wilson opened the scoring at 3:34 in the first, staking the Caps to a lead, hit his sixth of the year, assisted by Kuznetsov. And then it just kind of went all downhill from there. Kraken got four unanswered after that. Poor Vanecek just got shelled. And captain managed to make it 4-2, 3 minutes into the third, to make it look kind of decent at least. But Kraken got an empty netter with 30 seconds left, and that pretty much diced it. Now, like I said, that's a perfect storm of a game. Caps did make a pretty good effort, I thought, in the third period, ending up with 39 shots on goal. But you know, like I said, it wasn't ideal conditions, and no use.
I didn't expect much from this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. Like, I was like, all right, if this is going to be an L, okay. It is what it is.
Yeah. And our old friend, Philip Grubauer, came up with a big win, stopped 29-31. He really needed that. This was the classic comeback game for a team that's been struggling a bit out of the gate. Right. So you kind of figured that's what you were going to get. So, it is what it is, as they say. All right. So moving on, back home 2 days later against the Canadiens. You talk about another team, a team that's really in trouble. They're imploding really badly. They just fired pretty much all their front office staff today. Earlier today, if you haven't heard. GM's gone. Yeah, holy GM is gone. Really? Assistant GM's gone. Whole front office gone.
Dang. So,
yeah.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, really. sucks to be them, but I mean, that probably explains the on-ice play, because Jenny and I were watching, and I don't know. Those guys were standing around like they did not want to be there.
I agree.
And it was just easy picking. I mean, they showed some life later on in the game, but it was easy picking for the Caps.
Now, that's got to be so hard. I mean, this like lack of motivation, lack of not even motivation, but lack of just inspiration. You know, it's like,
yeah,
that sucks. But I mean, it sucks for them, not for us, but.
Yeah, well,
you know, bummer, whatever.
Yeah, so three goals unanswered. Dowd, Carlson, and Scarbosa, Michael Scarbosa with his first of the year, jumping out to a 3-0 lead. And Les Habitants got one at the end, towards the end, to make it 3-1. Kuznetsov, his seventh in the second, making it 4-1, which turned out to be the game winner. Tom Wilson making it 5-2 in the third. Orlov icing it with his third, making it 6-2. And this one I think also we're going to draw a line through and not go too deep into, because like I said, the Canadians just did not look interested. And when you're at your job and you know there's rumblings at the top and, you know, shit's going to roll downhill, pardon my French, you know, it's hard to concentrate on your job. So I think that
there you go.
Probably had something to do with it, but not a bad game played by the Caps. This was a game they should have won, took advantage of, and did win. So pretty good game all around, but a little too easy for my liking. So we're going to skip over this one too. So it's on to the next game, which was that Friday night, also at home against the Panthers. So this one, had its moments, but it was also kind of tight. This is a little interesting to watch. Good God. Do I have to say it? Wilson again, on a hot streak.
Mustache and all.
Like melted butter. Yeah. Like melting fried butter here. Eighth of the year. Third straight game, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's at least his third straight game with a goal. It might even be more if I look back, but at least his third straight game with a goal. Eighth of the year. Of course, Florida had already scored in the first period, but he ties the game, and Caps were off and running after this. They looked like they were going to run away with it anyway. Shorthanded goal, by the way, but that's probably the only time you'll see the words Tom Wilson and short in the same sentence.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Little over a minute later, Caps get a power play. Captain scores his 16th, assisted by Wilson and Alexei Protas, his second assist of the year, second point ever. Pardon me. And less than a minute later, Captain makes it 3-1. With his 17th, Protas again on the assist, and Kuznetsov with the secondary. And then the Panthers started to creep back, and I think it was this goal. Let me check the replay, but one of the goals, some fans were kind of ripping on Samsonov a bit, but it was just the one goal that I think he would like to have back. I wonder if it was this one. But because there was one where he just flat out missed it. I'm watching the replay now. Yeah, I'm watching the replay. I'm making sure. Okay,
like,
so
between the legs, or like it just looked like he was just standing there.
Yeah. This is the one. This is the one. Sam Reinhardt. Yeah, this is the one that he just flat out missed. Because okay, so the Panthers collect the puck. They get on the rush, and he wasn't screened. And yeah, he just flat out missed it. So it was a pass to the wing, and yeah, he completely missed it stick side. And I would say that was probably the only goal against that Samsonov probably should have done better on. I think the others, the one was a breakaway, and the other one, you know, somebody was right in front of him, so not much he could have done. But that one for sure he should have had. So if you're going to criticize him, I would say it would be for that one. That made it 3-2 Caps. And so on to the third period. Captain finishes the third of a hat trick. Yes, 36-year-old player who was supposed to be done, who was supposed to be no good, supposed to be not worth anything anymore. 36-year-old player getting a hat trick. That's three goals in one game, by the way. No good, done? I think not. 18th of the year, Kuznetsov, his 20th assist of the year. Tom Wilson, the primary or secondary assist, rather. That line has been on fire. It's kind of a shame that they had to break up, but that's paying dividends, as you saw today. More on that when we cover the next game. Let's see. So Panthers make it interesting about a minute and a half later, making it 4-3. Carter Verhaeghe with his 7th of the year with about 14 minutes left with a wrister, but the Caps clamped down, hung on for the game. And let's see. So the most important stat, I would say, was the third period shots on goal. 8 for the Panthers and 6 for the Caps. Kind of goes against the 60-minute game you want to see them play, because they're only getting 6 shots on goal that period. That means they stop playing, and you don't want to see that.
True. But they still look damn good.
It worked. It worked. They hung on.
If it had to be the only con, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to see them tire at the end, but I don't know if that's what it was, but you know, they had enough firepower at least and enough wherewithal to clamp it down at the end for 10-15 minutes. So that was good. It was good to see that. Power play was 1 for 3. That's good to see also. 3 stars of the game, obviously the top line, Ovechkin, Wilson, and Kuznetsov in that order. They had a fantastic game. They carried the day. So great to see.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved,
oh my God.
Definitely. Yeah. And you could have stuck Samsonov in there maybe, because I think he made some key save. But like I said, if not for that one that he really should have had, I think this game would not have been quite as close as it ended up being. But still, a win is a win. And then it was on, yeah, for sure. And then it was on to today's game, which is another of those dreaded Sunday matinee games that we all have gotten to become really frightened of, because that hasn't gone very well. Maybe it's being on the road that is the tonic for that. This was a 1 o'clock game. Yeah, in Carolina, of all places.
They haven't played in a long time.
They haven't played in a long time, and Carolina's been the class of the league so far, or one of those teams anyway. So this was going to be a good test. And I'm going to take a second here to complain about whoever the hell it is that makes the damn scheduling. If you look at it, the Hurricanes had pretty much the same Western road trip, except they started in Vegas. If you look at the calendar for the Caps had, when they started their road trip, they ended up, well, it was 4 games, and both of them were back-to-back. All 4 games, they were back-to-back. Carolina took the same road trip, pretty much. Played Vegas, the Kings, and Anaheim. And also Seattle, I think. No back-to-back. What the hell?
Oh, that's messed up.
What the hell?
I didn't know that.
What kind of crap is that? What kind of BS is that?
Yeah, that's not cool.
Baloney. And more baloney than at my grandmother's buffet. Come on. Well, anyway.
Baloney at a buffet.
That's my 30-second rant. So, but... Anyway, it was going to be, and we knew it was going to be an interesting game because Caps have been playing well as of late, of course, but they hadn't really run into some top class competition. Well, this was it. So we're all going to find out how they played. So this is the one I think we're going to concentrate on as far as some in-depth study. First period, no goals.
Did you see the whole game?
Oh, I watched the whole game from beginning to end.
Yeah. This is looking good.
Yeah, first period, no goals. It was a nail biter, but nobody got on the board. And then just under 12 minutes into the second, and we kind of thought it would be a goalies duel, and then that everything just sprung a leak. Not that he played, sorry. But Ovechkin, the captain, with his 19th, Orlov and Wilson on the assists, staking them to a 1-0 lead. And then, not the game winner, but probably the goal of the game, in my eyes anyway, Alexei Protas with his first career ever.
Oh, so awesome.
I'll describe the play if you didn't get a chance to see it. He's sitting below the goal line, and his intention, I don't think his intention was to shoot. His intention was to do a cross pass across the goal mouth or get it to somebody in front. Well, he sent the puck and it hit Tony DeAngelo's skate. and ended up in the goal. And the look on everyone's face when he scored, and the look of surprise on Protas's face said it all. But
yes, it said
it. I mean, you love that.
Goal to goal.
He'll take it. He will take it any day of the week, I'm sure.
Well, and the fact that he's top line, I mean, God, good on him. Like, I do kind of love these little weekly stories that we're having with the you know, hearing about players' first NHL goals when they're part of the Capitals organization. It's so great.
Because I do
truly love that you have an Ovechkin who's, scoring goals 749, and this guy's at one. And the energy is still like, woohoo, good for you. And that's just exactly how it should be. And that's why, you know, that team is so much like a family, and I love it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the hallmarks of how this team has absolutely gelled. It's a welcoming locker room, and you have led by a guy that's been there, loves to win, loves to be around, you know, guys loves to invite guys into the culture. You know, I'm going to stand on my soapbox and shout it to the rafters till I'm out of breath. But the people that are out there that still claim he is a horrible captain can suck it, because it just ain't true. If it was true, then how is it that all of these younger guys, all of these guys from Hershey, are flourishing once they get there?
Yep.
If not for leadership saying, hey, you know what? You are one of us now.
Exactly.
You're on the ice. You're wearing the red, white, and blue. And when you are out there wearing that, you represent me and this whole team. And I know you can get out there and do what you need to do, whether you play 1 minute or 10 minutes.
Exactly.
So if not for that culture existing, then there's no way these guys can flourish. And we've had, what, 6-7 rookies come up now?
Oh my gosh, it's been crazy.
And not a one of them, not a one of them have been, oh geez, what's this guy doing here?
Exactly.
Yep.
They've all been humbled and awesome, and I don't have a favorite yet. Thank you. But I do. Sorry.
Ian's putting that's
contributing to the fire.
Well, speaking of the fire, it's kind of strange though. You mentioned Protas being on the first line, so they actually moved Tommy down to the second line.
Right.
So did you have a problem with that?
I didn't, because I really feel like Laviolette knows exactly what he's doing, and he was going to give, you know, Protas a chance to, you know, be top dog. Like, why not? And Tommy, like, playing second line, like, he's not going to give effort less. It's not like he's going to go 100% and then 80% in the second line and 60% if he got bumped down to the third line. If anything, it's been a great pairing, you know, just with the lines in general. So, like, at first I was like, oh, wait, you know, like, on paper, if you're looking at it, you're like, oh, wait, Tommy just got bumped down, but that's not good. But then when you look at Protas playing, you're like, you know, that kid's got talent. There's something there. And I don't think there's any, you know, there's no issue on this Tommy fans end.
Well,
that's what you're asking.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to hear. But I don't think Protas is going to stay on that first line. I think he's going to have, they're going to keep him there when they need him up there to give him a taste of what that responsibility is like. I can't see him staying there though.
No, I don't think he's going to stay, but that's why I appreciate Laviolette though, because he does mix things up. You know, he does give these guys chances to be like, hey, listen, you are in the NHL. I'm going to put you in a line with, you know, this person and this person, you know, with this vet and this person, and see how it works. And I appreciate that. Like, I just think he's just such a great coach. I just really am appreciating all of his efforts this year and his coaching angles and everything. I think he's bringing a lot to the Caps locker room and just to the vibe of the team overall.
Oh, for sure. 100% I agree. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you something I would like to see, though. I would like to see Protas on one wing, even though he's a center, and Wilson on the other wing, centered by either Kuznetsov or Backstrom when he comes back. Two big bodies on the wings.
Yeah.
Centered by a guy
spectacular
that can find people. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be gate smashing, firework popping, siren blaring, all kinds of awesome if that could happen.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe Laviolette sees that too and is just kind of getting him, you know, introduced into a couple of games, get him comfortable. Now he's got his first goal under his belt, which is always a big stressor for anybody in any game when you want to score your first to anything. It's like, you know, this is huge. And so now, you know, we see what happens going forward. And I don't know where I've been. Like, I thought TJ Oshie was okay. I thought he was going to be in the game tonight. And then it's still.
Well, yeah. The thing with Oshie was he took a really hard shot in the skate boot. And if you've ever worn skates, you know, there ain't a whole lot of protection there.
The padding, right.
Or padding. Yeah. But, and yeah, so it's taken him a while. So he might be, okay. He might be at least a few more games out.
You think so?
One or two more, maybe not much more than that.
Okay. Cause for some reason, I don't know, like maybe it was the holidays, I was distracted and stuff. And then when it came up to today, I was like, wait a second, like what happened to Oshie? What did I miss? So I watched all the games and then I recall what you were talking about, but I didn't realize it was enough to keep him out for this game. And who knows if he'll be ready for, what do they play Tuesday? What time? Like what day is today? Tuesday. Today is Sunday. They play Tuesday against.
They play Florida's Tuesday. And then it's back home for a couple of games to round out the week. It's actually a 4-game homestand. We'll get to previews of coming games later on, but yeah, it's another game. It's Florida Tuesday, and then it's a 4-game homestand in the first two weeks of December. So I'm probably going to see Oshie back sometime around there, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe Backstrom too, hopefully, but
that'd be great.
We'll see.
I mean, not that we can complain with how things are right now.
Not at all.
Not at all. I've got no complaints.
Yeah, and that's going to be there's going to be a lot of finagling and moving of chess pieces. That's going to need to be done. Be very interesting to see how management handles all that. We'll see. But I don't see. I mean, they haven't made a wrong move yet, so I'm not too worried.
No.
So, all right. Anyway, getting back to the game. So, when we last left you, it was 2-0 at the end of the second period, Caps, and then Carolina got things going. Jesperi, Coke and Pepsi are tasty. I can't say his last name.
Yeah, he has quite a name.
Yeah, with his
Coach
fifth,
Apali.
making it 2-1, and then 7 minutes later, Niederreiter, tied the game. Yeah, and then that's when I started to worry, assisted by Martin, Nature's Boy, with the primary, and Brent Pesci. You think I'm amusing? And as your classic nail biting and sitting on the edging and nacho eating, really fasting, and all kinds of nervous shit that we do at that point. And but lo and behold, Carolina
of all people.
Well, of all people, but first, even before that, Carolina would put themselves in a deep manpower hole by getting. Let's see what. So the penalties were. Seth Jarvis held Nick Jensen. Oh, that was play of the game to me, or at least one of them. Nick Jensen was found on a terrific pass. I wish I could remember who found him. He had something of a breakaway, and he was held. His wrist was held, so he really couldn't get a shot off like he wanted. The ref saw it, thank God, and called it. And that was the first of the two penalties. And 30 seconds later, ah ha ha, as I posted in the Facebook room, Sebastian Aho slashed Alexi Protas's stick, broke it in half, breaks the thing in half. Ref has to call it, and that puts caps up on a 5-on-3. And then, like you said, who should step in and be the hero and score and get the game winning goal? But
kills me, but yes,
Dmitry Orlov. And I was about to throw something at the TV because I'm thinking, all right, this is a golden opportunity. They can bury it. They can put it away. Maybe get one, maybe two. And they're standing around and they're moving the puck. Like, okay, somebody get in front of the net. Nobody's getting in front of the net.
Yeah.
And then they shoot and it's blocked. They shoot again. It goes wide and they have to chase it and they come back and time's ticking down. They play with it some more, like it's a broken Rubik's cube or something. And they pass it around. They shoot. It's blocked again. Shoot, save. And I'm thinking, oh God, and the timer is on the two man. I see it start to head towards zero. Like, okay, well, this is up. And then I see Orlov stepping towards the slot, standing maybe 3 feet in front of the goal. And he finds a loose puck and puts it away. And I mean, it was, if you can mix shock with happiness, now find me digging into your exactly. Find me dig into your thesaurus and find that word, a singular word for that. But like you say, I'll take that any day of the week.
It was great. Well, and I was listening to, as I'm sure the majority of people listening were listening to Jovi and Locker when they were watching the game. And Jovi had a really good point that it's like, you know, hey, listen, once Carolina scores once, like their momentum keeps going. Like, don't be surprised if the second one is coming, the third one's coming, you know, kind of thing, which is exactly what we saw. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little like, oh my God, please, this is going to go into overtime. Oh boy, like this is, you know, this and that. And then I saw, so I sort of was in the same situation. But when I saw Aho get out, I was like, oh my God, we don't deserve to win if we don't score on 5-on-3.
Exactly.
Like, we don't deserve to win, especially against that team with those, like, one's 19, and I think Aho's probably not much older, and they're both damn good. So, good for the Capitals for kicking ass on that. And hey, number 9, still don't want your jersey number on my back, but I will applaud you.
I'll take it. No, I think any of us would have taken it any way we could get it. And then, so let me go ahead and describe the play. So, all right, so Carlson set it up from the point, finds Wilson, who's sitting just below the left circle. He sees Orlov charging towards the net and gets it over to him, and that's how it happened. So
perfect.
Could not have asked or written up a better play.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'll take it. And that turned out to be the game winner. And Carlson, who, we make fun of him a lot, but I got to hand it to him. He had actually a pretty good game.
Hit a hell of an empty netter.
Yeah, that was a bullet from about 165 feet.
Yeah,
that was a friggin' dart. at 18-19 to ice the game. And yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good game. I think we measured up very well. So we're starting to get low on time here. Not going to run through too many of the vitals. Caps had 25 shots on goal. I think they could have had more. Not too good at the faceoff dot either. But they controlled enough of the play, not dominant, but enough of the play to stay alive. 1 for 5 on the power play. All right. So that's a 20% rate, but it could have been better. And if you think about it, they had to whittle down to 5-on-3. So still needs work. This is an intensely physical game. Both teams got 20 hits plus. Caps actually had 30. And possession game, pretty good for the Caps. Only 7 giveaways, 7 takeaways. Canes had double that in amount of giveaways. So I think Caps made the most of those. That tells some of the story there. Shots on goal per period. Pretty well, 10-7 Canes first period. But I don't think really any team had the edge if you think about it there. Second period, 11-9 Caps. And this was kind of like the Florida game. The Caps kind of let down a little bit. They kind of took their foot off the gas. 13-7 Canes shots on goal, and that's a pattern they need to get out of sooner rather than later. And that probably was why the game was a lot closer than it should have been in the last 10 minutes. So. Anyway, but yeah, thus endeth, and that so that makes the record for the week 3-1-0, one regulation loss, and so now that leaves us to the current standing. So as I said at the top of the show, we are at the quarter pole. Caps have now played 22 games out of the full scheduled 82, so it's a little over a quarter of the way, and the points stand thus as far as the standings. Capitals, as of that win, have now passed Carolina and are now all alone in first place in the Metropolitan Division and also the Eastern Woo-hoo! Conference. And awesome. Now that I look at it, the whole flipping league, for that matter, nobody has more points than them. So, yay Caps.
And, yay Caps, right.
Yeah, absolutely. So not a whole lot, I would have to say, thought they would be in this position. So the question is, can they keep it going? So, yeah, that's the big question as of right now. And, well, I think they can, because they're only going to get healthier. They're going to get some players back here in the coming weeks. So they're only going to have even more talent. You've got the young guys that are still hungry that are getting it done now. And the mix is working out. Every button Laviolette is pushing is working. Mm-hmm. And I think the goalie situation is also solidifying here. Samsonov is starting to emerge as the number one. So.
Yep. Yeah, so I agree. I have got nothing else to say.
Well, yeah. So, all right. So want to go over some important stats, very basic here. So special teams, we'll get them out of the way. Caps, unfortunately, are kind of, after this game, not so much middle of the road. They're starting to break into the top 10, 86% on the penalty kill. And as far as the power play, still kind of middle of the road there, 18.8% overall scoring rate. But what I was impressed with, and let's see if I can get to, okay, so the goals against average is what I saw. All right, well, goals against in total, Caps are actually... Okay, I have it reverse. Okay, goals against, Caps are actually sixth best, 52 goals against, 52 goals surrendered in 22 games. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. We'll take that. Goals scored, Caps are numero uno, 78 scored in those same 22 games. So yeah, very, very basic. Okay. Here's what I was looking for. Goals for per 60 were games played, goals against per games played. Well, that doesn't leave the Caps looking very good, to be honest. That puts them in the middle of the road, or does it? Let me make sure I know what the hell I'm looking at here. Yeah. Okay. So this, they need to fix this website because they have it. They keep putting it in opposite order. Okay. So Calgary's best at two goals against, but Caps are fourth best at 2.36. So I don't think the defense is all that bad. And I'm sure as hell thinking the goaltending isn't all that bad if you take that into consideration. So as long as they can keep that up.
A quarter into the season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the scheme is working. Everybody knows their role and plays it well. So the only question is, can they stay relatively healthy the other three quarters of the season and through the playoffs and just keep things going? That's the big question at this point. And you know, I hate to kind of blitz through everything as far as, you know, the stats wise. That's what I kind of wish Robbie was here, and I'm sure we can get him on, you know, sometime, pardon me, down the road to give his take on things, because, you know, he's pretty good at, you know, making, you know, putting a comprehensive thing out there as far as the big picture. You know, that's what he's pretty good at. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get his take down the road. But yeah, you know, bottom line, they're playing a lot better than a lot of people gave them credit for or thought they would. It's just now they've gotten to a point where, okay, you got where you need to be. Now you need to sustain it. Now you need to just keep that going without burning yourself out come April. And that right now, pardon me, that right now, that's going to be the trick. That's going to be what they need.
I don't see them burning themselves out there with the amount of players that, top players that are out, you know, whether it's COVID, whether it's injury, whatever else, that they have been able to maintain a strong connection, whatever you want to call it, a chemistry with whatever line they're playing on, both that and new players. So in that sense, you know, hats off for, you know, I think we have to just put it in Laviolette's hands and say, you know, you just do you know what you're doing. And I don't see a burnout. I truly don't. I think that the goalie chit chat, you know, is we all love Vanacek. We all thought, you know, thought he was fantastic and proved, you know, to Sammy when Sammy was out for COVID and whatever else, that he could, you know, kick ass and step in. And then he's been, you know, up against some tough opponents and hasn't done as well. So Sammy's showing his all, which good. That's what you want. You know, it's, no one's asking, you know, for like, you know, your one and done kind of thing. It's like, why not have two fantastic goalies that both want it? And I think that's finally, Sammy kind of realized that the fan base and possibly the players, you know, are a little bit more on double B side. So I think it's good going forward. I like looking at the different, you know, changes in the lineup. And I do feel like in the next month or so, it's going to become more consistent on who is at top, especially the top two lines, since that seems to change so much. But I've been impressed. Like, you know, these young guys coming up are, I don't know, they're exactly what you want them to be, and that's awesome for Hershey, and it's awesome for us, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And Doug and I talked about this last week. As far as the goalies, you kind of want to have that problem where you don't really know who to start, and so you're stuck with, okay, who's the hot hand, and so. I think Craig Lachlan said it after the game today, you know, just ride Sammy till he loses and then put Vanacek in there and give him a chance.
Yep.
So, I really don't think there's a flaw in the game, except, you know, can they keep it up is going to be the big question going over the next several months, you know, so.
Right.
And, okay, so I want to end the commentary on the, and she'll know what I'm talking about, but I want to end the commentary on the Carolina game by saying, winner, winner, lasagna dinner, and that's exclusively for you, Fee McKinnon. Hope you're listening. Hope you love that. She'll know exactly what I mean by that. Okay, so, yep, so that was the week that was, as I said, 3 wins, 4 games, only 1 regulation loss. So looking at the schedule, we already mentioned, okay, so they next play, they go down to Miami and play the Panthers. 7 o'clock puck drop there. That's Tuesday evening, and that ends the month of November. Then December the 2nd, back home to Cap 1, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Blackhawks. And then that's the first of a 4-game homestand that stretches all the way through the next Friday, December the 10th, against the Penguins. And in between, they play the Blue Jackets Saturday and the Ducks on that next Monday. All time 7 o'clock Eastern. And that pretty much rounds out that homestand. So home cooking after some turkey. And I hope everybody enjoyed that video I posted of the Orlov and the captain showing and getting some leg.
it was a little much, but it was if they weren't for a team that I loved, I'd be like, oh, gross. But okay, I'll take it. It was barbaric and joyous and everything you'd want it to be.
Of course.
Yay.
kind of had a Game of Thrones type of feel to it, I thought.
Which I haven't seen because Ian told me I would probably be grossed out with too many things. But yes, I did, hence the barbaric comment. So we'll see. All good.
Okay. All right. So I think this is a good place to stop for this week. Mermaid, good to have you back for this week.
Thanks.
And nice to have you well rested for the what's going to be a good stretch run here. Okay. Right. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that Dr. Pepper is a real doctor. So what type of doctor is he? Well, naturally, he's a physician. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Seriously, where do you get these jokes? I have to know.
I can't reveal my secrets.
Well, I just want to be sure Ian never gets a hold of them.